This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. Glad you could join me again tonight for more music of the moment in West Michigan. At the Farmer's Alley Theater, it's Christmas in July as a brand new sequel to one of the theater's most beloved shows ever hits the Farmer's Alley stage with the Great American Trailer Park Christmas Musical. I have three members of the company here to chat about this show, which starts July 17th and runs through August 9th at Farmer's Alley. And I'd like to welcome Laurel Scheidt, who's the director of the show, Whitney Weiner, who plays Darlene, and Adam Weiner, who plays Jackie. It's really a thrill to have you all here. I'll start with you, Adam. As executive director of Farmer's Alley, you've decided to step onto stage after an absence of several years.
Yeah, when we opened Farmer's Alley Theater back in 2008, the four founders, myself, my brother Rob, artistic director Jeremy Koch, and his wife Denise Mulay Koch, it was very organic. All of us kind of ended up doing everything associated with the theater, which was direct shows, acting shows, marketing, development, etc. But as the theater grew over the years, and we grew as people and matured and started getting married and having kids, you know, you kind of had to delegate away to other areas. And as the theater grew as executive director, my duties kind of took me elsewhere, and I didn't have time, basically, to do anything on the stage. I still directed some shows over the years, but when I got married and we had the two kids, I needed to take a hiatus. It was important. So, but when this show came along, because I was in the original The Great American Trailer Park Musical, we did that twice. We did that in our first season in the summer of 2009, and then it was so popular, we brought it back again for our second season in 2010. So when the sequel was written a couple years ago, it was kind of like destiny that eventually Farmer's Alley would do this sequel show and get the band back together. And how could I say no? I mean, even though my character is not in this show, we're kind of doing it, I guess, you know how the show American Horror Story, they recast. They're the same actors are in different roles every season. So that's kind of how it went with this show. It just kind of came together.
I actually asked him. His mother asked him to do the show. So he said yes.
Laurel, as head of a theatrical family, is there any other topic around the dinner table? Do you ever not stop talking about theater and what's next and who's done what?
Well, we do have four new grandchildren, so we talk about them a lot. I'll talk about my grandchildren anytime. So I have four new ones, so that's
now they
great.
Can't be actors, right?
No,
they need to support their parents in their old age.
Exactly. But we do talk about theater and performance and things like that a lot.
Sure. What about directing? When was your last directing gig?
The last show I directed at Farmer's Alley was Urinetown in 2011, right? And then I was the theater director and forensic coach at Portage Northern High School for about 20 years. And the last show we did was Wizard of Oz in was November 2013. And then I retired from Portage Northern. So it's been great that I've been able to do this show this summer. It's wonderful.
You know, for someone who, you know, has the burden of or the responsibility of teaching young people to comport themselves and speak well, you've certainly picked out some raunchy type shows to direct.
Yeah, well, what are you trying to say here?
Well,
like I said before, she classes up the trailer park.
Whatever. But no, this is an interesting show. It's very fun. It's fun and it's bawdy and it's a little raunchy and naughty, but
very tongue-in-cheek.
Yes. It's a satire. It's satirizes American culture and a lot of American pop culture references in the show as well. And I think people are going to enjoy that. I really do.
The Great American Trailer Park Christmas Musical starts at Farmer's Alley on July 17th, so there's plenty of time still to call down to 343-2727 or click on farmersalleytheater.com. Shows are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday each week.
Yeah, and they're selling out pretty fast, actually. We have some performances that are already sold out, so we may be adding some additional ones to accommodate demand, so check us out on the interwebs for that information.
Well, I'd like to chat with Whitney a little bit.
Hey, y'all.
Get a little bit of your background. You married into this theatrical
Lucky
family.
Lucky me. I did. Yes, I'm actually married to Laurel's other son, Rob. He's a deputy director at Farmer's Alley Theater.
Were you always drawn to theater and performance?
I was. You know, we have such a long history, not only with just Laurel and her family, but Catherine Walker, who is our musical director for the show. Catherine actually came to see me in high school when I was a performer, and I've always loved music. I'm a Western alumni, go Broncos. Went here for music education, and this somehow life brought me back to Kalamazoo, and that's where Laurel and I met at Portage Northern High School. I was hired in as the choir director at the high school there, and so Laurel and I did shows together, and yeah, I mean, it was like instant connection. I remember thinking, you know, I just love this family. Like, these are my people, you know, these are my people. So,
She flipped a coin and chose Robbie instead of me.
Well, it's true. Yeah, no. So, you know, we clicked instantly. Always loved theater. Always did all the high school shows, you know, and music and all that stuff.
So Farmer's Alley was founded in 2009, you said?
2008, yep.
2008. Any second thoughts about, you know, fitting in another theater to the West Michigan community?
Yes. that was one of the big questions when we started going around and talking to potential investors and board members. And one of their first questions would be, why does Kalamazoo need another theater? And our answer to them was, well, the niche that we're going to provide is, I believe, essential and deserving to this community, which is a professional theater, a year-round professional equity theater, which can contract actors and actresses from all over the country to bring in works that you wouldn't normally otherwise see here in the area, because we have this intimate, smaller space that we can do smaller shows like the Great American Trailer Park Musical, and to provide a niche that way. I think this, you know, with this community, with everything that it has in an artistic sense, is more than deserving of a professional equity theater, particularly with all the performers that come out of this area, whether they go to school here in Kalamazoo Portage, this West Michigan area, whether they train in theater, musical theater here at Western or K College, they leave and they go out and they do professional work all over the country. But to come back here, there's no avenue for them to perform, except really for Farmers Alley Theater, unless you're coming through a tour at Miller Auditorium. So to provide a place for professional actors from this area is very, very important to me and to the theater, and to, you know, to contract these professional actors, to give them a place to come and work is really, really rewarding.
Well, once you convinced the investors that this was essentially different from any other theatrical experience in this area, you had to convince audiences sure. that was also the case. And have they responded?
Absolutely. You know, when we first budgeted, our operating budget our first year was around $150,000. Very, very small. Currently, projecting for next year, we're at around $600,000.
That's a lot of growth.
Yeah. our original projection for attendance our first year was 60%. We ended up doing 81. We really strive that all of our shows are no less important than any other. That we try to put the best high quality performances on stage, and really give the best possible show here for our patrons.
Case in point, last month's Dogfight,
mm-hmm.
a really special show written by two U of M graduates.
Yes.
It's a piece of art that needed a place to continue to.
Exactly. And that's a perfect example of the kind of work that we want to do at Farmer's Alley. When you have a show that's a small cast, you know, so larger theaters or even, you know, Western might not do it because they need to provide more roles for kids to act in. And also the controversial, I guess you could say, nature of the show, and that it's provocative and that it has, you know, adult language in the show, just like Trailer Park, that some other theaters in the area might not touch. And it being a new show, I mean, it's only 2 years old and really kind of starting to pop up all over in theaters all over the country. So that was really, really important for us to do essentially a new work like Dogfight. And here as well, you know, we were one of the first theaters in the state to produce the original Great American Trailer Park Musical. And I know here we are, the first one in Michigan to produce the Christmas version of the show.
Well, Adam, thanks for answering those questions. they've just been lingering in my mind for a few years. Now we can, you know, get right to the story sure. here and listen to an excerpt once we set up the story of this musical.
Okay. So the Great American Trailer Park Musical originally premiered in New York at the New York Music Festival, which is actually going on right now as well, in 2004. And it was one of these off-Broadway shows that initially attracted a lot of talent to the production. It's a silly show, and it takes place in this North Florida town in this really cute trailer park. And there's these three women who act as like a Greek chorus, and they narrate the show. They break the fourth wall. They talk to the audience and say, hey, we're kind of trailer trash, but that's okay. We accept who we are, and we love who we are. And Whitney's role in that show, she was an agoraphobic housewife who hadn't left her trailer in 20 years, and I played her philandering toll booth collecting husband, Norbert. So we paired off in that show. The sequel has the same three women, but the other characters, different members of the trailer park. This time, they're preparing for Christmas, and they want to decorate the trailer so they can win the grand prize at Mobile Homes and Gardens. That's providing that.
We have new residents to yes. the trailer park now. We meet Darlene. So Whitney has assumed that role, and Darlene is the trailer park Scrooge. She hates everything Christmas. Actually, she hates everything. She is just a nasty...
Very unlike my normal characteristics.
That is true. So, and then we also meet her lovable redneck neighbor, Rufus Jeter, with a heart, heart full of gold. I mean, he's just a sweet
man.
He
loves Christmas.
He loves Christmas.
So you have someone who loves Christmas nemesis. And yeah. someone who hates Christmas. I wonder if those two are going to get together.
I don't know. I have to see. And then we meet Darlene's boyfriend, played by Adam.
That's right.
That's right. It's Jackie Boudreau.
I'm a self-made man entrepreneur in the area, and I run a series of restaurants called, restaurants. That's an actual term. Hooters and such, but I have a special a twist on that, in that my restaurant serves breakfast. So it's a restaurant that serves pancakes, our specialty, and they're called Stacks. That's what the restaurant's called, Stacks.
It's Hooters and IHOP.
Hooters meets IHOP, that's right.
Adam, keep in mind this is NPR-affiliated WMUK, and we're talking about the Great American Trailer Park Christmas musical.
Maybe not want to play this song. No, it's good.
It's fine. This is Jackie Boudreau's song, Baby, I'll Be Your Santa Claus. And back the three girls back him up as backup singers, kind of Elvis-inspired.
It gives you an idea of the style of music in the show, yeah.
About the party, well now it can start, 'cause old Jackie B is here to play his part. Now I own this joint and all my girls will agree that I spell Christmas with a capital C. Baby, I'll be your Santa Claus. I like to spread the wealth around just the pie, you gotta take a big slice. I bring the ice before it falls and roll the dice, make my own laws. Naughty or nice, I'll be your Santa Claus. Merry Christmas to all, and well, y'all know the rest.
Ooh, this is
so if that didn't entice you.
This is WMUK, and in case you tuned in during the music, my guests are Adam Weiner, Whitney Weiner, and Laurel Scheidt, and it's all family all the time here, as Laurel is mother to Adam and Rob is married to Whitney, and so we have this siblings-in-law.
We actually have another member of our family in the show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, our niece from New York. Nikki Scheidt is plays Pickles, our kind of dim-witted character.
One of the Greek chorus, and Nikki's a professional actress from New York, and she was in the second time we did Trailer Park back in 2010, so we're so glad to have her back for this version.
So what can you tell me about the writer of this Great American Trailer Park Christmas musical?
Betsy Kelso wrote the books for both shows, and she also directed the original production when it premiered off-Broadway. She really hasn't... I mean, she's a Los Angeles-based comedy writer. She's a sketch comedy writer, part of a troupe, and she's written for a developed TV series for ABC Family, MTV, and the Disney Channel. She's done a lot of web-based work, and she was on the first season of Hannah Montana. It says here, so. So maybe she learned some stuff from Billy Ray Cyrus. I don't know, for that show.
Well, she really hit it out of the park.
She does. I love her writing in this show. Yeah. Very, very smart, and you can tell that she's a comedy writer and is up at the times.
Yeah, it's witty. Yeah, very witty.
So Laurel, I'm guessing that this musical, both of them, you know, they're playing around with stereotypes, right?
Yeah, and we've talked about this with my cast, and I said these characters, you have to play them honest. You have to play them as real. We exaggerate the reality a little bit, but you've got to play them real because and honestly because the audience will not, you know, they will not resonate with the audience otherwise. So I think we've done a good job doing that. We've just kind of heightened that exaggeration a little bit, but they are real characters. Yeah. And
that's a very important aspect to play the characters honest. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the shows that we do that would be considered maybe popular fluff. Mm-hmm. Still, you need to ground that in reality, whether you do a show like Forever Plaid or The Marvelous Wonderettes like we've done in the past. Those characters need to be honest and their emotions need to be real. Otherwise, it cannot connect with the audience, no matter how silly it is.
Tell me about taking off the cool pin.
Oh, well, my cool pin has fallen off a long time ago, so that's not a problem for me. But with this show, you definitely have to, it is because it is this heightened reality.
And comedy,
right. You really just have to let yourself, I mean, the stuff that's written is so good that the just saying it is funny. It's funny when we do a read through, you know, but then staging it and seeing it with the costumes and the set, which is going to be incredible. It has so many funny bits that, you know, it really just
you don't have to worry about itself. You can't worry about how
you look. Trust me. Yeah, I don't. You're gonna see what you're gonna see.
Don't worry about your angles.
Yeah, exactly. you also can't try to be funny. Right. You know what I mean? As an actor, you can't try to be funny. You have to take the material and you have to play it
honestly,
yeah. And through your characterization, that's what makes it funny.
Right.
I mean, exactly. I mean, the writing's there. You just have to go with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't add the classic. What the classic saying is: if the lion is asking for a glass of milk, you don't ask for the laugh; you ask for the glass of milk. Mm-hmm. And the laughs will come that way.
That was something I did write down beforehand. Was the idea that comedy, that drama is easier than comedy in many ways, because you do to get people to laugh. They have that meter or that sense inside them that says, if you're just putting on some sort of act, then it's not as funny as if I really believe it.
And we cast six really wonderful comedy actors because they have to have really their comic timing has to be precise. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's that precise comic timing that all of them really
do exhibit. It's like a music in a sense, that there's certain rhythms to lines and the timing and the spacing and where you can get two laughs instead of one here. Yeah. This is how you do it.
And it's so fun to work with this cast because everyone is so good and so funny that we crack ourselves up when we're just rehearsing.
Oh my goodness.
Because, you know, we just have this really funny group of people. And it gives you a lot of liberty in the script to ad-lib things. I mean, it will write in ad-lib, you know, so we have a lot of just
that's
funny
very
things
dangerous.
That we create. It can be very dangerous.
You'll
but,
hear something for the first time one night and you'll just be like, I can't believe that Mary just said that.
And then you'll come see the show again, hopefully, and you'll be like, oh, they said something different there. That's
yeah, you're
really
going to have
great.
To see the show twice just to get all the jokes because you'll be laughing so hard. Yeah.
Well, just to recap for folks who may have just tuned in, The Great American Trailer Park Christmas Musical starts on July 17th and continues through August 9th. And it's set in a trailer park in northern Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stark
and Florida. It's getting close to Christmas, and certain residents are big fans of Christmas and others are not. And there's some sort of contest.
Yeah, there's a decorating contest for the most decorated trailer park in North Florida, serious competition. And Mobile Homes and Gardens Monthly is coming to judge. And if they win, they get a $10,000 grand prize. So they got to have all the trailers decorated. But Whitney, who plays Darlene, the resident Scrooge,
does not want to decorate. She is, as Laurel and Adam mentioned, the Scrooge of the trailer park. But you find out throughout the show why she is the way she is. And you know, she goes through a bit of a transformation.
That's what I love about this show and both of these shows is that, yes, it's very silly. It's very sophomoric at times, but there's
a lot of heart
that's at the base of it. And the themes of the show, particularly in this one, are no different than any other Christmas show where be nice to your neighbor, you know, it's better to give than to receive, that kind of thing. And with Whitney's character, I think is really interesting. This leads in maybe to the next song that you're going to play, which is a really lovely ballad where she sings about her childhood memories of Christmas.
It's really fun. You know, being in the first trailer park to being in this one now, I played Jeannie in the first, who was this agoraphobic who had these issues,
right?
And that she had to overcome. And similar with Darlene, you know, it's so fun playing this character. She's so different than Jeannie, but she also has just these things that she has to overcome, just like in the other show. And it really is, you know, kind of touching how she goes through that process and you find out why she is the way she is. And
there's loss there in both shows.
Yeah.
There's loss.
That we can all relate to. Mm-hmm. So very relatable material, honestly.
Why don't we listen to this song from the Great American Trailer Park Christmas Musical and come back again with Laurel Scheidt, Whitney Weiner, and Adam Weiner.
A childhood Christmas years ago, I couldn't sleep all night. My list of toys for Santa Claus was packed from She-Ra to Rainbow Bright. Would I get Teddy Ruxpin or Glowworm or a Care Bear filled with joy? With joy. Someday I'll meet a man who's like my Christmas tin toy boy. I never, ever will forget my Christmas tin toy boy.
That's a song from the Great American Trailer Park Christmas Musical. And I'm here in the studio with members of the cast and company, director Laurel Scheidt, Whitney Weiner, who plays Darlene. That is your song. And Adam Weiner, who plays Jackie. Tickets are available now at FarmersAlleyTheater.com or by calling 269-343-2727. The show runs through August 9th, and it starts on July 17th, which is Friday.
I do want to make a clarification here. You know, some people might wonder why we're doing this show in July, a Christmas show in July.
Oh, I'm a terrible reporter. I should have started off with that question.
You know, putting a season together is an art form unto itself. And when choosing the shows, in placing them, can be very, very difficult. Normally in December at Farmer's Alley, we do shows in what we call a cabaret style. So we have tables rather than traditional seating, and we serve dessert and coffee. It's really lovely, and we usually do a review of sorts, celebrating an artist, or like what we did...
The Candor and Ebb musical,
or Frank Sinatra, or The Marvelous Wonderettes, which we've done in the past, which is like a jukebox musical. Very, very small shows, because we need more space to set up all the tables and such. So that was one of the reasons that we didn't want to do Trailer Park Christmas at that time. The other reason is that mainly the shows in December are family oriented, that people of all ages can come and see and not worry about language and such, whereas the Great American Trailer Park Christmas Musical is hilarious, but yes, it does contain adult language and innuendo of sorts. So we wanted to put it in the right time and make it very, very clear that the show, probably I would say, 15 and up would be good for the show. Obviously, parents have their own discretion of what to see. Yeah.
15.
Well, yeah.
Rated R.
Yeah, it's like R due to language,
well,
of course,
you know,
but it's all in good
if
fun.
If your parents, why don't you just come on your own on the first one and then decide yourselves whether to bring more of the family along. I mean, I know that you have to say things like, well, there's a language thing, there's some innuendo, but it, you know, in reality, it's not no different than sitting down and watching HBO for a night.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very true. We are very Game of Thrones like. No, I'm just kidding.
Maybe not Game of Thrones.
Not at all.
We're chopping people's heads off.
Oh my gosh.
No. So yeah, we and we were bolstered by the fact that the theaters that have been doing this show over the past couple of years since it opened, a lot of them have been doing it in the summer to much success. So I wasn't very scared of putting this in July and saying, why are you doing Christmas?
We sort of have groupies, you know, we have some trailer park groupies that just form and they're like, oh, trailer park, it's a great trailer park.
We've had a lot of people order tickets in groups. This is a show that people will come with their friends, or a girls' night out maybe, or a guys' night out, or bring a bunch of couples and just have a good old time. And I'm sure we'll be decorating the lobby very festive.
And we've been buying props. I mean, we started buying props during Christmas last season.
Actually, I'm sure you found quite a lot of discounted
items. We did. Christmas it's going to items. Be just so festive.
People can feel free to come dressed up, you know, just like you would in a movie, you know? It would be fun to look out in the audience and see everybody all Christmas in lights. Their Christmas decor. Sure.
The PBR will be on tap in the lobby. So. You think I'm kidding? I'm
not. So tell me about the ratio of dialogue and scenes to musical numbers in this show.
First act is very music heavy, I would say. Yeah, a lot of music in the first act. We've been really working this music.
The
pretty
whole
Catherine.
First 15 minutes is music.
Yeah, the first.
Yeah,
the,
it's the, like Les Mis,
yeah, the first 15 minutes. Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
In terms of that first scene, you know.
The first scene is about 15 minutes, and there are actually three songs in that, and there's dialogue interspersed and so on. So that's a little heavier music in the first act. Second act's more book heavy, I would say.
Book heavy. Theater lingo.
Yeah, it's a little more book heavy. And a lot of lines, a lot of words, and a lot of action, a lot of staging, right? We have a lot
the,
of
the physical comedy.
We have a lot of physical shtick, as we call it, coming up in that second act.
That's why I respect comedic actors just as much as dramatic. You know, folks like Jim Carrey or Adam Sandler, and then the things that they have to do physically a lot of
the
times.
Adam has a lot of physical comedy in the show, is so funny. It's really funny.
So that's why I think the stuff that they do can be just as difficult and important as a dramatic actor.
Yes. Sure. You know, if you ever watch Buster Keaton,
sure.
That guy had thighs of steel.
We are definitely sweating during rehearsals, I'll just tell you. It's like we are in Florida.
So what are some of the scenes that you are, you know, working on over and over and having to, some of it goes easy and some of it doesn't. So what?
Well, Darlene does have I don't want to give it away, but she's electrocuted.
I do get electrocuted.
In the first 5 minutes.
In the first 5 minutes. So there's a little physical comedy right there. And then in the second act, we have a slow motion
tasing. There's a dream ballet sequence.
Yes. It's so nice.
I cannot get my finger on this.
Yeah,
this
we have a dream
thing.
Ballet. We have a whole dream with we have the ghost of Christmas past comes to visit, and then the ghost of Christmas recent past, and the ghost of present. And we used up our Greek chorus, so we have no ghost of the future, Christmas future. Yeah. So it's kind of silly. And then the second act, Adam, you want to talk about your
antics? I don't know.
That,
I don't know if
I don't know if you
want to
give it
away.
I don't know.
Of course, it comes out of left field, too. It's pretty silly. But
it's silly. It's really kind of silly.
How everything is resolved. Let's say there are supernatural elements involved.
Yes. But It's brilliant.
You mentioned Catherine Walker is preparing all the band and the musical. She's probably coaching all the musical singing and stuff.
She's incredible to have.
She is.
I tell you, she makes us better every time we work with her. I can't stress enough how fortunate we are to have a talent like Catherine working with us as a musical director. And also, Catherine's doing the musical directing, and usually our whoever musical directs plays the show as well in the pit. But in this case, Catherine's unable to, so we're fortunate enough to have a gentleman by the name of Nick Mueller come in and lead the pit again. And if you know Nick, who is a Western alum, recent graduate, worked a lot with Gold Company.
Also one of Laurel's students.
One of our former students.
And he's acted on the Farmer's Alley stage before last year in our production of Old Wicked Songs that we did with the Gilmore Festival. And he's awesome to work with as well. And we're just so pleased to have him.
I really get just the sense of close family and extended family here with this.
It's a really neat bookend. It just kind of worked out that way. The beginning of this season when we did The Secret Garden, that was, you know, Jeremy, our artistic director, Jeremy Koch, was in it as a lead with his wife, Danine, played his wife on stage. And then their son, Jason, played the role of Colin Craven in Secret Garden, directed by his grandmother, Kathy, and John, her husband, was also in the show. So, you know, it was quite a family affair. So we're ending the season with the other family involved in Farmer's Alley Theater. It just kind of worked out that way. So it's been very, very, very fun.
If, you know, you're all family playing for each other in rehearsals and, you know, you understand each other so well, how do you trust that it's going to translate to the general public? I mean, I think there's an element of professionalism that you all also developed over time that give you the confidence to translate.
Well, it's great for me. I really trust them. You know, I trust them so much, and I know their abilities and their talents, and it's been nice working with four of you I've worked with before. So it's really nice to have that camaraderie again, and I know I'm going to get the performances that we need from this show. I trust them so much.
With the other roles, too, I mean, you know, you I think you cast a great show, not just because you put me in the show.
Well,
everybody kind of gets it, and they got it from day one, what kind of show that they were doing. And that was really, really important. Everybody gelled. And part of it was because some of us done the show before and understand what we're going for here. But also the newcomers in the show understood and really just kind of dived in. There really wasn't a lot of a learning curve Mary Teutsch,
no.
Who is new in the cast, and he's done a lot of shows with us and around town. And then Rod Cohn, who's a local comedian who was in Dogfight, he really gets to shine here in this show. Oh my goodness.
He's great.
So
they're both great.
We're really pleased that we kind of just were able to hit the ground running and just go in this really ridiculous adventure that is Trailer Park Christmas.
I had a directing teacher one year when I was in school who said, if you cast the show right, your job is 90% done for you, you know? And I think that's somewhat true. I think it's very true in this particular instance, because these actors know what they're doing. They've embraced these characters absolutely from the beginning. Yeah.
While I have you here, Laurel.
Yes.
I'm going to use this opportunity to ask you about your sons as boys and raising them. tell me some stories. Tell me.
Oh, no. Actually,
we were brainwashed early.
I mean, yeah, they sang on pitch right from the beginning. Yeah. With Itsy Bitsy Spider, right? They kind of did everything. I mean, we tried to expose them to, they did sports, they did theater, we did play piano. I mean, we did everything. And this kind of stuck. I think this is what they really enjoyed the most. This is what they loved the most.
Well, I remember Mom started doing shows at the Civic.
I was acting.
Probably when I was 7, I want to say.
Younger.
Maybe even younger. Yeah. And that's when I thought that was, when she was in a play, man, I thought that was the be-all, end-all, to go to rehearsal and watch her do The Imaginary Invalid or Brighton Beach Memoirs, Annie, The Diviners, shows, and to be in the, Farmer's Alley wouldn't be here without the Civic. I can't say enough about them. It was. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world to walk on the stage, you know, after a show or in between shows or being backstage. I was like, I want to be involved in this as much as I can. So
they
were
exposed
pretty
early.
Yeah.
And I remember going to school and directing the dinosaur play when Robbie, I think, was in kindergarten. I mean, I did that right from the beginning with them. And I took them as soon as they could sit in the seats. We went to theater. As soon as they could do that. They were always imaginative kids. You guys made movies, remember? All the movies you made? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I've seen some of those.
Oh, my goodness. Very imaginative. Yes, they made movies. And Rob went to Interlaken for 5 summers. He really enjoyed that, too. So, yeah, I think that they were exposed at an early age, you know? They were fun, I got to tell you. They were very fun boys to raise, but good kids, really good.
And you still get to play.
I do. And I'm looking. I see our grandchildren are. They have their little spark there too. Whitney's daughter, Nora's 2. I mean, she sings on pitch. That child can sing already, and she, you know, it's wonderful.
Well, the Great American Trailer Park Christmas Musical starts at Farmer's Alley Theater on Friday, July 17th, and continues through August 9th. We have another selection here to check out the musical with. It's called Heart Full of Christmas.
Yeah, it's one of the final songs in the show. Sort of yeah, number. Very Ray Charles-ish that that Whitney kind of sings and we back up. It's a lovely song. I really, really like
it. Yeah, one of my favorites.
All right, let's hear it.
I finally see what's behind me, but it don't affect what's ahead. I need to choose my future. My closed heart will be open instead. Life is a waste when you're hateful and mean. Christmas, do you?
Well, that's a song from the Great American Trailer Park Christmas Musical, which starts at Farmers Alley Theater on July 17th. I can imagine in the space of the Farmers Alley Theater, it'll be it'll be quite overwhelming, especially with all the flashing Christmas lights and tinsel everywhere.
The accoutrement. You're going to be wishing it was snowing outside. Wait, no, not really.
No. Enjoy summer while you can. So Adam, we're getting close to the end of this hour here. Are there any final things we need to tell listeners about this production?
About Trailer Park Christmas? I think you're going to have a great time. You don't need to have seen the first show to come in and enjoy this. You are not going to be lost, trust me. I think it's a great show to come with a group. Have some Boone's Farm wine and just have a great, great silly time at the theater and have fun on a summer evening or a matinee.
It's great summer escapism. Yes. That's what sure. I call it. Lots of fun.
We had such a cold, rainy day yesterday. Yeah. I mean, it is perfect theater going, whether it's this summer. So may I ask you to peek ahead, to give us a glimpse of the 2015-2016 season.
So we're prepping right now for it. We don't really take too much of a break. We close Trailer Park Christmas on August 9th, and then we're scheduled to open the opening show of our eighth season, on September 18th with one of the most popular shows ever in the history of musical theater with the classic cult comedy Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, wow.
We are very, very excited for this show. You know, it's a hugely popular show, but it's fantastic. It's popular for a reason because every song is great. I know we just finished casting the show, and it's a dynamite. I can't wait to bring these people in with a combination of excellent local talent and some New York professionals and an LA professional as well that are coming in. And, of course, a big, big, huge plant puppet that'll be coming into Farmer's Alley. That's what we're really excited about, doing Little Shop in such an intimate space where the plant will be right there on stage and with the great music, the doo-wop style. So even if you've seen Little Shop, you know, a million times, I could see it again. And I can't wait to bring that show to open our season.
You know, when Kathy Moulet was here last month to talk about Dogfight, she talked about the audition process. Mm-hmm. And you can see hundreds of people and audition tapes. A lot of it these days can be done via Skype and computer.
Right. That's one of the greatest advantages of Farmers Alley being a member of Akron's Equity Association, because when we have auditions, we post it on their website. And we get, poor Jeremy has to sort through hundreds of submissions from actors and actresses all, you know, vying for the same role. Particularly for a show like this, where so many people are like, oh, Seymour Krelborn is my dream role. Audrey is my dream role. I want to play it so bad. So I guess it's an embarrassment of riches that we were able to have for this audition process.
And these people have amazing resumes already. Mm-hmm. An embarrassment of riches, a good phrase.
So Little Shop, so we open Little Shop, and then we go to a one-man show in November called Fully Committed, which is a hysterical comedy which takes place in a very high-end Manhattan restaurant in the reservations office, where one man is trying to hold down reservations for this fancy restaurant and all the people that call in and want to get seats here. And it's basically kind of a farce, but it's played by one guy doing 40 different characters. It was actually named one of the best plays of 2000 by Time Magazine. And it is a, I guess you could say, for a performer, a huge challenge. But to see somebody like kind of meld into different characters, some of them very stereotypical. You know, there's a stereotypical woman who wants everything to be just so. There's the assistant of a famous supermodel that needs a table just so, and it has to be, the menu has to be vegan and all that good stuff. And driving basically this main character, this reservations manager, crazy when he's having more issues of his own. Fully Committed is going to be a great time at the theater in November. And then we end 2015 with a classic revue musical, Forever Plaid. Celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. So we're really, really excited. We've done the Christmas version of that show, Forever Plaid, Plaid Tidings, but we've never done the original. So we're really excited for that. We begin 2016 with a new contemporary drama called Other Desert Cities, which took Broadway by storm a few years ago. It's a wonderful look at a family living in Palm Springs and conservative ideals and liberal ideals clashing. And that's an excellent play that we're looking forward to, Other Desert Cities, in February of 2016. We continue that our season with another collaboration with the Irving S. Gilmore International Keyboard Festival in April of 2016. We did Old Wicked Songs again last year with them. That was a big drama. So next year we're doing a comedy called Murder for Two. And it's a musical murder mystery with two guys, one piano, and they play a number of different characters. There's a murder in a town, and one guy plays a detective, and the other actor plays all the suspects in the town. And they both play the piano, a lot of props, a lot of costume change. It's going to be very, very fun. So we're excited for Murder for Two. A little bit of change for the festival.
Wow, you must have actually made a pretty extensive list of every possible piano collaborative play in, yes, that exists.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of choices that you could have, but this kind of Murder for Two kind of fell in our laps. And Jeff Blumenkrantz, who is one of the stars of the show, who, cross our fingers, are hoping to get to come back to do the show. He came to Western for the late night Broadway series just this past year. Mm-hmm. So he was great to have. So he may be making a return to Kalamazoo. And then we conclude our season in next summer with two musicals. One, a kind of a diamond in the rough show, an unknown show called A Man of No Importance, which is a musical written by Stephen Flaherty and Lynn Ahrens, who wrote Ragtime and Seussical and Once on This Island. And it's a wonderful dramatic show based on a film starring Albert Finney in the 90s. It takes place in 1964 Dublin. And there's more information on all this on our website. The music is fantastic. It's one of those hidden gems of a show. And then we conclude our season with a very, very popular show. One of the most, I think, funniest musicals ever written, in Monty Python's Spamalot. So we'll have lots of the Knights of the Round Table will be appearing on Farmer's Alley stage.
Yeah, Adam, it's really impressive. I know you put it all together, but it's either, impressive but that you can actually rattle off single show of your next season. And as you said, details are available at farmersalleytheater.com. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, while we were during the music, you mentioned a podcast that you do with your brother.
Okay, you also go to our website. We decided to do, you know, I love listening to podcasts lately. I think they're great. When I'm not listening to NPR, WMUK, I'm listening to podcasts.
Yes.
And, or wait, don't tell me on the podcast form. But so it's very easy to do. And Rob and I kind of decided, well, why don't we do kind of like a biweekly or monthly podcast giving the goings-on at Farmer's Alley. So we started that back in March or April, and talking about Glass Menagerie, then talking about Dogfight and Trailer Park. And also, we also like to kind of shoot the breeze about what's going on in the theater world as well, whether it was the Tonys or you know, certain movie musicals that are coming out or in development, or what our favorite musicals are. It's a lot of fun for Rob and I just to sit and chat, and hopefully we'll get some guests to come on as well. But you can find that on our website or podcast.
I'm looking inside on the alley. I'm looking on the front page, but I haven't.
I think it's under the news section. Okay. I think, or scroll down.
All right. So you're hiding it. Do a little bit of do a little investigation, and you'll find it. Because you guys are both, you're all so knowledgeable and so enthusiastic about this thing that you love. And I always learn so much when you guys come to talk about these productions. And as a whole, West Michigan is very proud of Farmer's Alley.
Well, I'm just thrilled at the response that the community's had. And we'll continue to do our best. People keep coming.
Final thoughts, Whitney.
Yeah. No, I'm so excited to be part of this production. I hope everybody comes to see it, and all my students are going to see me if they come to see it in a different light. Yeah. So I'm just really excited to be acting and performing and part of this production.
How about you, Laurel?
I'm just thrilled to have Whitney acting again. I really am. I just love watching this character kind of develop. Yes, we just hope we have a great response to the show.
Okay. And Adam, thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
And it sounds like it's going to be a great show. The Great American...
Merry Christmas, y'all.
Great American Trailer Park Christmas Musical, starting July 17th. Details at FarmersAlleyTheater.com. I'm Carol Laurence. Thanks for tuning in to WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan.